In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, December 30th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The battle against ISIS in Mosul, Iraq continues with Iraqi troops advancing on several fronts yesterday. The World View spoke to Drew Privett of Samaritan's Purse, a ministry there on the front lines. He says they found the most needy refugees in Iraq.
In the end, it's basically we try to decide where our efforts will have the greatest impact, both meeting physical and spiritual needs. You know, what activities are most needed and most impactful?
Drew shared an incredible story of how the ministry to the refugees has borne fruit.
One recent story is in a camp in Iraq. We provide some trauma counseling, and we have a trauma counselor there on staff, and she was supposed to go visit a lady in a tent, and this tent had a number on it. And so she's driving out to this tent. This camp is very expansive. It's just acres and acres and tent after tent after tent. Well, the lady had written her tent number down wrong. And so our counselor drove up to the wrong tent. And when our counselor got out, a woman came running from the wrong tent, the tent that she wasn't originally intended to go, and the woman was covered in gasoline. This woman's situation was so dire. She was about to commit suicide by burning herself to death. And the Holy Spirit had placed our counselor at that very moment at the right place to intervene.
Zhang Kai, Christian human rights lawyer in China, disappeared after being called into a police office in Mongolia on December 27th. China Aid reports that his family does not know his whereabouts. They are praying for his safe return. Kai is known for being a bold advocate for Christians in China, having been imprisoned before in 2015. The United States government has imposed sanctions on Russia for what they are calling, quote, election tampering, unquote. They are expelling 35 Russian operatives from the country. Russia is reportedly considering a response. President Barack Obama is making a last-ditch effort of federalizing more land under the national parks. The Bears Ears National Monument will now control some 1.5 million acres, and another 300,000 acres is going to the Gold Butte National Monument in Nevada. By the numbers, here's a look at 2016. The federal debt now stands at $20 trillion, up $1.4 trillion over the previous year, up $10 trillion since President Obama took office. Since the death of Cuban dictator Fidel Castro, very little has changed in the country, especially since his brother Raul became president back in 2008 due to Fidel's sickness. Life News reports that, quote, if anything is to change for the better in Cuba, it will need to come through a shift in the hearts and minds of Cuban citizens, starting with the church that has been ravaged since the Castro regime first began in 1959, unquote. The World View spoke with Mark Nicholson, director of Passion Life Ministries, about his recent visit to Santiago, Cuba, on the southern tip of the island, where they led four training sessions of pastors and one youth rally reaching 450 people.
Passion Life Ministries was invited to come down to Cuba in November and work with area pastors to come in and hear a presentation on what we call the gospel of life, a biblical presentation of what the scriptures say concerning life and how God sees it.
Nicholson said the eyes of these pastors were opened to what God's word says about life, the shedding of innocent blood, and God's forgiveness. He addressed the shockingly high 60% abortion rate in Cuba.
As far as abortion rates in the world, the highest numbers are coming out of Asia. That makes sense with the population of China. But as far as the highest abortion rates per capita, the indications are that the Caribbean and Latin America have the highest abortion rates in the world. Cuba, being the leader of all those countries in the highest abortion rates per capita. What we're finding, I think, in Cuba is just a low value of life and an attitude that abortion is just another means of contraception. We ran into very few Cuban women in the church where we were who had themselves experienced fewer than three abortions. It's very, very common for people to abort two, three, four, sometimes we heard of eight or nine abortions. This is married women. This is people within the church. This is people from outside the church.
Nicholson told The Worldview that the pro-life training of Passion Life whet the Cuban Christians' appetite to start crisis pregnancy centers.
There are crisis pregnancy centers on the ground in Cuba, but they're few and far between. Where we went and did our training, immediately people within the church wanted two things. They wanted follow-up training, both in post-abortive counseling, grief counseling, crisis counseling, and they also wanted to learn how can we as a church serve the people around us by setting up some sort of crisis intervention center for pregnant women to come to.
Psalm 51:14 says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness." Americans are playing games. Video game sales worldwide topped $91 billion, of which $34 billion was spent by Americans. Total box office receipts were $11 billion, about the same as last year. Simultaneously, Gallup's church attendance percent dropped to 36% last year from 42% in 2009. The American fertility rate was the lowest ever, 62.3 births per 1,000 women, according to the CDC, and the average life expectancy has reached 79. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." WorldNet Daily reports of two homosexuals claiming to be married who came under investigation by police for sexually abusing little boys from an elementary school in St. Paul, Minnesota. One of the homosexuals was a teacher at the school, Lincoln Center Elementary. The police had collected a great deal of evidence over 4 months, and after the news went public, the two died in a murder-suicide. The Regnerus study on homosexuality, sponsored by the University of Texas, found that children living in homes with self-professed homosexuals are 10 times more likely to be sexually abused. Well, Jesus did say, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Matthew 7:18-19. Miraculously, a little baby girl born on Christmas Eve survived after being thrown into a Walmart trash can by her own mother, reports WBRZ-TV in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Firefighters performed CPR on the little girl in the bathroom before rushing her to the hospital. After reviewing surveillance video and interviewing witnesses, her mother was reportedly arrested on the same day and will be charged. We thank God the child's life was saved. And that's The Worldview on this Friday, December 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this season, remember The Worldview in your Christmas giving. You can make a donation online at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we're raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. And we come back every year to do a year-in-review program, have been doing it for the last 14 years. And so today we're going to discuss the year-in-review for 2016. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio to help supplement some of my summary of the year 2016. We do this in order to remind people that God is in control and we are to acknowledge Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, over history, every year of history and every country, every nation around this continent and around this world. It was the year that the establishment was humbled, Bill, and the media was humbled too. CNN says it's the year we got everything wrong. The most humbling year for journalists in American history. They were humbled. The establishment was humbled. The media was humbled. The pollsters, the pundits were humbled. It was an amazing year. It was a year in which I think God surprised everybody. And we have come to the conclusion, I hope everybody listening to the program has come to the conclusion, that man does not run this world. The establishment does not run this world, and the devil does not run this world in the ultimate sense. It is God who runs the world. And I think we have learned this lesson better this last year than we have ever learned it before. It was the year the media got everything wrong. They were humbled, Bill. They were humbled. The media has had such control over the minds and the voting patterns of the nation for so many years. But please understand, my friends, that trust in media is at the lowest it's ever been. People do not trust media. And some say that the election may have been a backfiring on them because they were so sure that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president in the United States. I believe it was Time magazine that had her picture on the front cover and had actually released a few issues of it before.
Yeah, if you have a copy of that, you've got money in the bank because that's worth some bills right there.
Incredible. Incredible is the year that Christians realize that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets over it the basest of men. God is in control of these elections. And, you know, people vote on a whim. They almost always do. You know, people vote because they feel like voting for this or that. Now, if the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord and he turns it whithersoever he wills, what about the hearts of the electorate? What about the hearts of the democracy? Do you think they might be in the hands of the Lord and he may be turning it whithersoever he wills? That's my guess.
Sure.
That's my conviction. That's what I believe, Bill. I think this last election proved the point. The pollsters didn't have it right. Nobody knew which way this was going to go. In fact, I thought it was going to go towards Hillary Clinton earlier in August, September. And then as we moved into October and November, I kept asking myself, I wonder if God has something up his sleeve. Speaking metaphorically, of course, he doesn't have a sleeve. But I wonder if God has a purpose in this election. He's going to turn this thing a different direction. So again, friends, God has taken us by surprise. He took a nation by surprise. Certainly took the journalists by surprise.
Yeah, and the pundits and all of the politicos, they were all taken aback. And they're scrambling now to try to cover their bases and try to regain their reputations. And they're finger pointing and they're doing all kinds of things to try to analyze what really happened and why they got bad intel and why they got it wrong and why the American public got it wrong and why everybody got it wrong when they should have all been listening to CNN.
If God wants to bring repentance to this nation, he will do it when he's good and ready to do it. Now, I don't see that repentance is happening thus far. I don't see an indication of repentance. I don't hear it from the highest positions of our magistrates. I don't hear days proclaimed for fasting and repentance. I don't hear this as we did with the Continental Congress in the history of this country. But certainly, friends, if God wants to bring repentance to the nation, he'll do it. But if he wants to bring the empire down, he'll use a man who has 3 bankruptcies and 2 bad marriages to accomplish it. If he wants to bring war, he'll do it by stirring national passions. And those national passions will eventually trump the international connections. But that's God's sovereignty, friends. It's the year of God's sovereignty. God is sovereign over all. He's always been sovereign over all. But it's the year in which I think it's become more obvious to more that there is a God in the heavens and he rules over the kingdoms of men and he gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the basest of men. The system is in shock, Bill. It's still in shock. People are in shock that Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the next president of the United States in just a few weeks.
Yeah, they're in denial. Many of them are still in denial to the point that they have called for, you know, marches and revolution. But they're not materializing. It didn't materialize with the Electoral College, and it's not going to materialize on the inauguration day. So that's what's going to happen. Is God's plan is perfect, and God knows what he's doing. And God's not surprised by the election like we were.
It's 2016 Year in Review on the Generations Radio broadcast. We'll be back in just a moment with more on 2016 in just a moment.
We'll be right back. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack in studios. We cover 2016 year in review. It was the year that the establishment was humbled and the media was humbled, the pollsters and pundits were humbled, and it was the year that the Tower of Babel took some big hits. Bill, nationalism began to replace internationalism. It was the year of populism. It was the year of Brexit. It was the year of Trump. It was the year of anti-multiculturalism, diminishing trust in political institutions. You know, there's a point at which man says, go to, let us make a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower. Let us build a city. This is the Babel instinct that man wants to build a tower so high. Man wants to come together. Man wants to unify, of course, without God, without submitting themselves to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so man centralizes power. But what does God do to centralize power as exemplified in the Tower of Babel?
Yeah, he kind of creates the confusion.
Yeah. The decentralization, the distrust of the leaders. And, you know, the higher you go, the more vulnerable you are to collapse. And that's what's happening to these international communities. And who knows but that NATO, United Nations, and so forth will be a thing of the past within the next 4 or 5 years. But the decentralization of power tends to follow the centralization of power. So you get a centralization, you get the development of huge empires and the one world government, and then it doesn't work for very long. It decentralizes into the Babel tendency because God has hardwired it into the system, my friends, ever since the Tower of Babel when man said, go to, let us make a name for ourselves. And sure enough, 2016 verified the Babel principle that we've been talking about on this program for the last 14 years. 2016 was the year in which the Babel principle vindicated itself against all of the pundits who thought for sure that centralization would go on and on and on indefinitely. Turns out it won't. It was also the year that Donald Trump and the alt-right were not really humbled. So while the establishment was humbled, it turns out that this is the year that Donald Trump was not so much humbled. Donald Trump couldn't think of a sin to ask God forgiveness for. And
even when the sin was exposed.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, when it turned out that, yeah, he had made some rather sinful remarks some 4 or 5 years ago, he was not all that eager to confess that sin and ask for God's forgiveness and everybody else's forgiveness. I don't remember that he did.
No. I mean, he talked about how he was ashamed about what he said and it was not right. And he talked to his wife, but he didn't mention that he fell on his face before God.
Well, and also Donald Trump was at the Republican National Convention this year. Remember that? He was speaking of domestic disasters, international humiliation, shuttered factories, crushed communities, beset by poverty, violence at home, war and destruction abroad. And then he offered the solution. I am your voice. I alone can fix it. I will restore law and order.
Yeah.
That was Donald Trump in 2016, my friends. In 1968, Richard Nixon was talking about the nation torn apart, and he said, without God's help and your help, we will surely fall. So Richard Nixon, you might have had a little bit of humility there. In 1980, Ronald Reagan said, I ask you not simply to trust me, but to trust your values, our values, to hold me responsible for living up to them. And George W. Bush in 2000 said with a note of humility, I know the presidency is an office that turns pride into prayer, but I am eager to start on the work ahead. So that's the way he opened up his years as president of the United States. Well, it was the year in which Donald Trump did not really humble himself in any public manner anyway. We'll see what happens in the year 2017. It was also the year that gay pride died. So this was the year of humbling. This was the year of humbling from various perspectives, and we want to hit a few more of these as we do the 2016 year in review. It's the year that God pulled the plug on three major homosexual leaders, David Bowie, Prince, and George Michael, and we treated that on a recent program, Bill. It was the year in which God said to these men who indeed celebrated gay pride or homosexual pride, and he said, time's up, pencils down, it's judgment day. For these men, David Bowie, Prince, and George Michael.
There is a reckoning.
It was the year in which I was interviewed on the program of Alan
Combs.
And I pointed out that proud gays are going to go to hell, but humble homosexuals who fall on their faces and cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, will go to heaven. So, and then Alan Combs came back and said, well, what's wrong with being a proud gay? I said, two problems. It's a twofer, pride and homosexuality. And this is the year in which God shot across the bow on the whole homosexual pride thing. And it was the year that gay pride died, and God pulled the plug on three major homosexual cultural leaders in this country, David Bowie, Prince, and George Michael, who led the charge to bring about the opening up Pandora's box and the approval of homosexuality and homosexual marriage with the Obergefell decision in 2015. It was the year that they died, David Bowie, Prince, and George Michael. It is appointed once for men to die. And after that, the judgment. It's also the year that sports pride died. Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest. The greatest turned out not to be.
And it was the October surprise. The Cubs won the World Series.
So the humble were exalted.
Yes, after 108
after
years.
108 years. Turns out Mighty Casey did not strike out after 108 years of striking out. Yeah. So it was the year that sports pride died and God exalted the humble, the Chicago Cubs. Thanks for bringing that in. I hadn't
the Cubbies
treated that in my notes. Muhammad Ali, however, I am the greatest, turned out not to be. And at 74 years of age, he went to meet his maker, who, by the way, is the greatest. It was also the year that the last of the proud dictators died. So pride died. Bill, pride died. Pride died for the journalists. Pride died for the sports figures. Pride died for the homosexual proud. And pride died for the proud dictators. In 2016, Fidel Castro was the last of the proud dictators of the 20th century. It was the great Nephilim of the 20th century who slaughtered their hundreds of millions. Please don't underestimate this historical record of the last 100 years, my friends. But these great Nephilim, these great and powerful men who gained so much power and had a great deal of respect and reverence on the part of those whom they were ruling with an iron fist, these great leaders, they died. They died. They're dead. They're all dead now. Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, Mao, and now Fidel, dead. Dead, standing at the judgment seat of the King of Kings so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And that, my friends, is a verse from Scripture.
Fret not when evil seems to be winning.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious for the workers of iniquity. They will soon be shut down like the grass.
Yep.
And they will fade like the green herb. Isaiah 2 also, the lofty looks of men shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, it shall be brought low. Think about these men in the height of their power, Bill. The point at which they make just the signal and 20, 30, 40 million men, women, and children are slaughtered. Think about the influence of these men at the height of their power. And think about how confident they are, how arrogant they are in their control over the lives, over the direction of entire empires. Think about how haughty they are, how powerful they are, how they're perceived to be so powerful by everybody standing around them, including many Christians. But think about how God cuts them down like the green herb. God sees to it that they are faded away like the grass in the field. Friends, this is our God. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, for the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, and it shall be brought low. It was the year that the petty tyrants, not talking about the big tyrants, not talking about the Nephilim that slaughtered their hundreds of millions in the 20th century. I'm talking about the petty tyrants that went after the Kleins in Oregon and David Dalyden in Texas. You remember that the Kleins were fined $135,000 by a petty tyrant in the state of Oregon in 2016. You remember that?
Yep.
Bill, they didn't make a cake for a homosexual wedding. They refused to participate with the enough enthusiasm for the abomination of homosexual marriage. And for that reason, they were fined $135,000 by a petty tyrant in the state of Oregon. And then David Dalyden, who did his research on Planned Parenthood, which, who, by the way, have been engaged in the trade of baby body parts across this country for a number of years now. And David Dalyden was the one who exposed all of this. And by the way, in the congressional report that's just come out on it, the skins of little children who are aborted, who happen to have Down syndrome, are being sold for, I believe, the price was $375. So if you've got this business of trading in baby body parts, they're buying the skins of poor little children who have been aborted, murdered for their body parts. They're selling their skins for some $375. And this, of course, all broke because of the research done by David Dalyden and his organization. But there was a district attorney in the state of Texas that went after David Dalyden, and she was not reelected, and neither was the petty bureaucrat who fined the Kleins $135,000. Friends, there is a God in the heavens, and the wicked will soon perish from the way. They do not maintain their power for very long, certainly not in the cases of those who were persecuting the Kleins in Oregon and David Dalyden in Texas. It was the year of terrorism, 40,000 deaths, up from 72 in 1970, and 13 in 1969, talking worldwide, 40,000 deaths. If you thought there might have been a fair number of reports of terrorism on the front page of the newspaper over the last year, almost every single day, you're absolutely right. In the providence of God, he has unleashed the terror of terrorism from the Muslim world, largely upon the Western world, which, by the way, at the same time has offended Almighty God by their secularist positions and their hatred of his law and their approval of homosexual marriage. So not only do we have the nations around the globe engaging in some of the most horrific policies in relation to sexuality and marriage that we have seen in the history of the world, but we have also seen a massive increase in the fearful acts of terrorism, which can occur anywhere, anytime, and bring about the deaths of tens of thousands of people. 40,000 deaths, terrorist deaths, up from 72 in 1970 and 13 in 1969, and it's touching the shores of America as well. 66 terrorist-caused deaths in America last year, up from 47 in 2015 and 23 in 2014, 19 in 2013, and 5 in 1970. So this is a steady increase on our shores as well. Terrorism expected to happen in a city or perhaps a sporting event somewhere near you. Why? Well, because terrorism worldwide is way, way up. And as it turns out, the Word of God is very clear on this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Not the case with the Muslim world these days or with the terrorists. And it would be good if America would repent and realize that our offense is towards God. Also, 2016 was the year that a homosexual Muslim attacked a homosexual bar in Orlando, killed 50 people, and the left couldn't figure out who or what to blame for the attack. It was confusing for the left. But that was, again, an instance of terrorism on our shores. It was the year of transgendered bathrooms. Target's stock, you remember Target?
Yep.
Was
plummeted.
This store that approved of transgendering their bathrooms, and that is inviting men dressed up in women's clothes to use the women's bathroom. And just make it very clear, that's what's happening in Target. Target stock dropped out from 85 2 years ago. Now it's sagging around 73. That's not good. It's not good. In fact, it's been going down. There's a pretty straight line down for the last year and a half. In the long run, it doesn't look like the liberal do-gooders will survive in the free market. It was the year that the Supreme Court of the United States was stymied on the Little Sisters of the Poor case because Justice Scalia sadly passed away on February 13th. However, it was also the year that Justice Kennedy did what Justice Kennedy does best, and the Texas abortion law was smacked down, sadly. And so where there are local states that are able to somehow curtail abortion, it will be smacked down by the Supreme Court of the United States. Why? Because Justice Kennedy is the swing vote, even on a tie vote. And even if the conservatives are able to get another Supreme Court justice, there'll still be a 5-4 vote with Justice Kennedy taking the more liberal side on it. It was the year of marijuana legalization and the legalization of doctor-assisted suicide approved in various states around America. Top movies of the year: Zootopia, Finding Dory, and Captain America. Zootopia featured a homosexual couple. Finding Dory sort of did and featured America's most well-known lesbian as the major actress voice. And Captain America was a mass confusion of worldviews as we treated it on this program. It was the year that evangelical mommy bloggers went pro-homosexual and lesbian. True case of silly women as described in 2 Timothy 3, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It was the year that conservative Christians were split down the middle over Trump. It's an interesting phenomenon. We'll see how that turns out. It's the year of more mega church pastor integrity implosions, especially if they happen to be Gen Xers between 42 and 52 years of age, all of which indicates a general squishiness and flimsiness to what's left of evangelicalism in America. It was the year that immorality increased in America, tyranny flattened, and God's hand was obviously on his people. He's still protecting. He's still defending the islands of freedom. Praise God for that. It was the year that the family in Norway finally got their children back after what was it, 600 protests in 80 nations. Those folks that were defending parental rights internationally did a very good job, and the family in Norway were able to receive their children back home. It was the year of the Oregon land rights dispute. One person killed and all the others exonerated in the trial. Franklin Graham hit all 50 state capitals. That was impressive. I was impressed by much of what Franklin Graham did this year.
Yeah, calling people to prayer and to calling the nation to repentance.
It was the year of the NOAA conference for the Generations Ministry, record-breaking attendance for our conferences. It was the year that Generations promoted family-based elder care, Christian-based midwifery training, Christian-based daily news programs covering the whole world every day in 2,500 stories and 210,000 words. It was the year that Generations promoted Christian education and Christian curriculum, encouraging people to purchase a distinctively Christian curriculum for history, literature, and science. It was the year that Generations published my family book called Family Life. It was the year in which we encouraged wholesome, Christ-centered, gospel-oriented, biblically-based books and resources for your children. And it was the year that we encouraged free market, Christian-based, non-socialist medicine, which we encouraged tens of thousands of families tuning in not to do Obamacare, if at all possible, but rather avail themselves to a Christian-based, non-socialist medicine approach in which governments don't control the medical decisions for your family, but healthcare sharing ministries come alongside the family and provide. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And finally, it was the year that Generations promoted Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord over the nations. Now, as far as prognostications for 2017 go, Bill, I don't have many here, but I'm just going to say this. I'm going to prognosticate that we're not going to get that Nike sponsorship for the Generations radio broadcast.
Oh, I was counting on that. I like the logo, and I was expecting a jacket.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's not going to happen
Generations
this year.
Across
and we're certainly not going to get Target or Pepsi.
Hmm.
All right. But Generations is a 501c3 ministry, and we appreciate any donations that come our way. Just check it out at our website, generations.org, and hit the donate key right now. If you'd like to contribute to our ministry, appreciate the things we've been doing, and we have made something of an impact on your life, just simply go to the generations.org website and help us out for 2017 to keep us on the air. Donate a little bit to this ministry. We would appreciate it if God so leads you to do it. And remember, we're a 501c3 ministry. That is, your donations are tax deductible. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next year as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.